The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 56. In New York City, 38% of all 911 calls are butt dials. Oops. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Sherry, and whether this is your first time listening or you've been with us since the beginning when we were just a small little sprout of a podcast a year and a half ago, I want to say thank you for joining us today and for helping support the Extra Pack of Peanuts Podcast. Because of you, we are now the number one rated travel podcast on iTunes. So thank you for that. And in case you missed it yesterday, two big announcements. Number one, Paulo Scurry, congratulations. You won our $50 Amazon gift card. Thank you, everyone who filled out the Extra Pack of Peanuts survey. That feedback was really, really important. And that brings me to the second big announcement. We will be doing a podcast five times a week. That's right. For the month of September, we'll be doing a podcast five times a week, every weekday, Monday through Friday. So instead of the weekly podcast that you've been used to, you'll be getting five a week. And that's based on the feedback that you gave us. We're going to be doing a top 10 list show. We did one yesterday, September 1st, where Heather and I come on and talk about some of our top 10 travel experiences in different categories. We're going to be doing a destination diary show where we highlight a specific destination and talk about what we like there and what we'd recommend if you were to go there. We're also going to be giving you two interviews a week now instead of just one. And then for the fifth episode, we're going to be taking your questions. So if you do have reader questions, anything from travel hacking to general travel tips and tricks that you want to know, make sure I get them at trav@extrapackofpeanuts.com. You can put in the heading podcast question. So we're really, really excited about this new format. We want to know what you guys think. So make sure you get at me at trav@extrapackofpeanuts.com. Let me know what you think about the new format. I really hope you like it. Five times a week. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be epic, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I also want to remind you, if you want to know every time that we record a podcast and every time we put up a post and you want to know what's going on at Extra Pack of Peanuts, you want to be kept in the loop, make sure you head on over extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. There'll be a box there that you can enter your email and become a VIP member. You can be on our email list, and that's going to be sent out to you only once a week. We won't crush your inbox. I promise, guys, you're going to get one email a week, kind of keeping you up to date on what we're doing at Extra Pack of Peanuts. You're also going to be getting my completely free copy, Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire. That's an email series. So if you're sitting there thinking, hey, how can Travis travel all around the world? How come his guests come on and they talk about being able to travel and I want to travel? How can I do it? I just don't have the money. Those are all my best tips and tricks on how you can start traveling around the world for almost free. So you can go over extrapackofpeanuts.com/free, put in your email. We'd love to have you on the email list and become a VIP member of Extra Pack of Peanuts. Today on the show, I have my friend, good friend, mentor, awesome guy, super enthusiastic about life, Jacob Sokol of SenseofE.com. Jacob is going to come on and talk about the transformative power of travel. How, you know, back a few years ago, he had no idea what he wanted to do with his life. He was working in this job that he didn't really like. He had all the trappings of life, you know, the nice car, the nice apartment, everything like that, but he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. He wasn't sure what his purpose was. And how he took a trip to Europe and how that really just flipped his mindset, how it helped him clarify what he wanted to do, why travel was so transformative, and then what he's done since then to get a business up and running, how he's been able to become location independent, how he can work from anywhere in the world, and how he's doing work he loves. Jacob is super open, super honest about his whole journey. You know, now he's at the point where he travels whenever he wants. He can work from anywhere he wants. He's leading retreats in Bali, doing all types of cool stuff, but he wasn't always at that place. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I'm kind of like that. I don't know exactly what I want, but I do want to travel more. I want to do something to give myself a little more purpose in my life, a little more purpose. You're going to want to tune into this whole episode with Jacob because he's really open about his struggles and about how he's been able to do that, as well as giving us some really good advice on travel, especially how if you're traveling slow, you can score really good deals on long-term accommodations if you're staying in a place for over a week or so. So here it is, my interview with Jacob Sokol. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is this sushi-loving world traveler who is one of the most positive and energetic people I know, and who has been known to drop a little Notorious B.I.G. in interviews at times, Jacob Sokol of SenseTV.com. Jacob, thanks so much for coming on the show, and welcome.
Dude, screw you. How dare you introduce me as a positive, people-loving, tree-hugging son of a... Get out of here, brother.
Jacob, one of the things that draws me to your site, as people who are listening to this already know now, your site, SenseTV, and I think what draws most people is the openness and honesty that you present there. One of the things you talk about frequently is your transformation and how travel has played a huge part in that. And so for people who don't know, can you tell us a little bit about your story, how and why you started SenseTV, and I guess also, what the heck does SenseTV mean?
Yeah, well, I was hoping you could tell me that. That's actually why I came to this interview. Maybe you would explain to me what SenseTV means. But what's up to everyone who's listening, guys? Great to get to know you or get to know you better. Trav, thanks for having me on the podcast. And despite my initial rough comments, I appreciate you and all your support in enabling me to live a location-independent, flourishing life. And yeah, so what does SenseTV mean? Well, SenseTV come root words sense and Sophie. So sense as sensational, five senses, to feel, right? And Sophie as in philosophy or sophisticated, which means wisdom. And so it's the feeling of wisdom. If you look on the internet, we are in an age of information overwhelm, right? And I know people listening to this podcast are nerds like me and you, and we can really geek out on consumption of information. It's almost like we're addicted to that next podcast, that next blog article, who said this and what I could do. And what I noticed early on is there's this big push towards information when really what we're looking for is transformation. So it's not about knowing something, it's about applying it. And when we take that wisdom and apply it, that's SenseTV. That's the feeling of wisdom from listening to this podcast and then allowing it to and using it to transform your life and that feeling that comes from that. So in short, that's SenseTV.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. So,
yeah.
Well, then what was it about your journey then that brought you to SenseTV? Because, you know, you've got a pretty cool backstory and I know travel plays a part in that. So how did you come to this point where you're like, you know, I want to start a website that deals with everything that I have gone through?
Yeah, well, so I was 24 years old and I feel like I should be quoting Tupac now. I was living the thug life. But usually what I say is that, you know, to quote the Notorious B.I.G., I grew up a screw up. And so getting to the point where I was in my early 20s and had a successful air quote successful IT job where I was making a nice salary and kind of had all the extrinsic things that I thought I wanted, the money, the status, the car, the motorcycle, the occasional, you know, one night stand, the, learning, and there, you know, there's a lot of things that were really cool, but there was a deeper sense of something that was missing. And really it was an identity quest that I was at that beginning stage of, which was, who am I and what am I here to do with my life? And what's up with all the crazy thoughts that are going on in my head, right? Like, where do those come from? And I'm afraid to talk with people about that. Like, if people really knew what was going on in my head, if they really knew who I was, I'd be revealed as, you know, not good enough, not man enough, as a fraud. I'd finally be exposed. And so, you know, just working through that stuff, like, travel, I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I needed to do something. And what I decided was I always wanted to go to Europe. And I kind of told myself, yeah, well, I'll do it by the time I'm 25. And so that point came around and I asked my boys, I'm like, yo, what's up? Let's go to Europe. Who's down? It's going to be awesome. And my boys were like, yeah, you're right. It's going to be awesome for you because we're not going as much as we'd love to. Good luck. Take care. Have fun. And so I took this 5-week trip to Europe by myself. And fortunately, I had a really cool boss and I, you know, he really valued my work in the company. And I said, hey, I'd like some time to travel. And he said, and I'm like, well, how much can I get? And he's like, well, how much do you want? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe like 2-3 weeks. He's like, yeah, whatever you want. I'm like, really? Like 3-4 weeks? He's like, dude, it's yours. I'm like, all right, 4 or 5 weeks. Sounds good. I took a 5-week trip to Europe and Yeah, travel was a really important part of my identity quest, trying to figure out who am I and what am I here to do with my life. And I think one of the main reasons is because we can use travel as a vehicle to learn more about who we are and what's possible in life. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what that trip was for me. I went to all types of places, Madrid, Barcelona, San Sebastian, Nice, Paris, Rome, Santorini, Athens, Amsterdam, Venice, like all in Prague. I was hopping all over and I had never been to Europe, and it just rocked my reality. Like, this other life is possible where like people have different values and a different lifestyle. Do you mind if I share with you and the listeners, Travis, my big three takeaways from that trip?
Share away.
Cool. You can hear the coach in me. You know, I spend most of my time doing life coaching and business coaching. So in coaching, what I often do is I ask permission to go in deeper with someone. Would it be all right with you if we go there? So cool, let's go there. So the three big takeaways that I had, essentially what happened is that I broke my patterns in life. I broke my patterns. And when I started to break my patterns, I realized that my patterns weren't me. So a couple things here. So one is that travel introduced me to the realization that there's a different type of lifestyle out there besides the Manhattan corporate grind that, you know, the listeners now know there's a different lifestyle out there. They know you and your work, but I didn't know that at the time. I didn't have a Travis Sherry in my life to school me to the world of other lifestyles and travel. So I realized there's a world out there where people are not just slaving away to make money to buy more products, to compensate for their low self-esteem, which is perpetrated by the media, and there's this vicious cycle that we're trapped in. I'm like, man, there's people out there like just enjoying like taking naps in Spain at like noon. Like, that's awesome. So one is I realized that there's a different type of lifestyle possible. Two is I realized that I am not my role. And so I walked around as I am Jacob the IT guy. And anything that I did had to be in that role. If I went to an office environment, I couldn't talk the way I'm talking now, which is a very authentic way, which is why I'm so, you know, authentic, because I know what it feels like to be so uncomfortable in my skin and to not feel safe to express myself. And now, you know, any chance I get, I'm like, yeah, that's what it's all about. Number two was I realized that I am not my role. And I think many of us are walking around in roles that we didn't choose for ourselves consciously. And so, you know, you're born into the world and you suddenly have the role of a son, right? Like you are the son or the daughter. And that becomes your role. And the same, you get a job and you become the IT guy or the teacher or whatever else you are. And you have to conform to who you think you're supposed to be, who you should be, and what you're allowed to do. So travel broke that for me. I realized there's no shoulds. Like I can do whatever. I'm free to express myself however I want. And that was so liberating. And then the third thing that I think was the biggest was I realized that I wasn't my thoughts. Okay, so stay with me, guys. All right, we're not gonna go too far off the deep end here, but I promise I'm not gonna, you know, vanish into thin air and reappear in the Himalayas as we talk about this. But I realized I'm not my thoughts, and here's what I mean by that. I was familiar with the concept that, you know, maybe some Eckhart Tolle or some Buddhism that, you know, you are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are just there, or whatever. But I had so many patterns and habits in my life, the same way that I would wake up and brush my teeth and shower and get dressed for work and go to work. And our minds work the same way. We have habits in our mind that when we're not conscious of, they just are there. These are patterns of the mind. And so traveling created all these new neurological pathways in my mind where I started to see and experience new things. And because of that, all these new pathways were being created. And that allowed me to let go of those other pathways that I was traveling, which were the I'm not good enough, I'm not man enough, whatever it is. And it brought me into this opportunity of experiencing a new reality. And I realized in that trip that I am not my thoughts. And I really felt it. It was the sensory. It was internalizing that wisdom, feeling it. And And if I'm not my thoughts, I can change my thoughts. If I could change my thoughts, I could change my life. And that was the turning point for me, where I knew that life would never be the same after that, that I was going to do whatever it took to figure out how to break out of that old identity, that old lifestyle I was living, and figure out how to create an authentic, ideal one.
And you talk about that, and you had all these grandiose ideas, right, when you're on your 5-week vacation, and we've just gotten in them, and lots of people have that. And then they come home from traveling, they feel changed, they are changed, they know they have changed, but then they do nothing about it. They slowly slip back into that regular routine. Even if they feel different, they haven't found a way to get out of it. And then over months or a year and a half or 2 years, all of a sudden, all those feelings they had are pushed to the back and they don't, you know, they don't ever act on it. Why were you able to use this as a springboard to something different? And how do you think other people can do that as well? How they can actually take these feelings, say, I am changed, and then say, but now I'm going to come home and implement it. Because we all know that rush you get when you're on traveling and your senses are alive. And then you come home and all of a sudden it's like, yep, I'm going to turn right and not even think about it and back to sleepwalking through life.
Yeah, and continue to anesthetize myself to the pain of living an unfulfilled life where I'm not at my full potential. So I'm going to numb out. I'm going to drink a lot. I'm going to eat foods that are unhealthy for me. I'm going to watch crappy TV. I'm going to gossip. I'm going to do anything I can to distract myself from the pain I would feel if I would just really slow down and be with myself, that I'm not living in alignment with what's most important to me. And that's what we do as a culture and a society. So great question. I'm paying attention to this more and more. Here's the thing. Most people want to know how to leave their job, how to take what they learned on this trip and create a new reality or a new life with it. But the how-to is not important. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the want-to. And when you want to do this badly enough, when you put your entire focus in life on doing this, you want it that badly that you're willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen, you'll figure out how to. Okay. So I know you guys want to come to me here. Here's the strategy and the thing, but you got everyone listening to this podcast. I can see the smile on your face right now because I meditate and I'm in the Himalayas. But besides that, I know that you know that you know way more than you do. And this is about doing. This is about wanting it so badly that you're willing to do it. I'm starting to hear myself sound like inspirational right now. I'm like, you know, I can like, my inspirational gauge is like, whoa, whoa, hold back. Don't be a motivational speaker here. And so that being said, you know, it is what it is. When you want it bad enough, you'll figure out how to make it happen. And at the same time, the most important thing that you can do is to surround yourself with people who live in the reality that you want to create. So what that means in a practical sense is if you want to create a reality that looks like Travis's, figure out how to spend time with Travis, whether that's hiring him to be your coach, or I don't know what he offers as far as service, listening to these podcasts. Podcasts are great. And to really take it to the next level, go to conferences, get people in your life, surround yourself with people who live in the reality that you are looking to create. Because what happens is whoever's reality is strongest will win. And if you come into my reality is going to dominate yours. That my reality is just so strong with what I've done in the last few years and what the way that I live my life, that you're going to enter into my reality. And if you stay in it long enough, our realities are going to clash. And if you're open to it, your reality is going to start to transform into a little bit. I'm probably going to get really annoyed and be like, that's enough time with this person right now. You can go away.
Yeah. And you believe so strongly in that transformative power of travel and spending time with people that you want to be like. You decided you're holding a retreat basically as far away from New York City where you're from as possible in Bali. And I've been fortunate enough to know some of the people who are going to be heading there, you know, help some people book travel there. And what's interesting to me is many of them haven't traveled that much. In fact, I remember one guy has actually said, like, I've never traveled before. I've never gotten on a plane. And here he is going to Bali, you know, the other side of the world to go to this Sensifi retreat. And what kind of impact are you hoping that experience will have on them? You've kind of touched on that, but you know, you believe so strongly, surround yourself with the people you want to be like. What's it going to be like there with you, 18 people in Bali for what, 7 days or 8 days or whatever?
Yeah. Well, shout out to Miles, who I think is who you're talking about as far as never been on a flight before. I think
that's who it is. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, dude. Well, I don't want to give away the secret sauce to what's going to happen in Bali before it actually happens. When is this interview coming out?
It could come out right before your thing in Bali, okay, or while you're in Bali.
So check it out. So here's where I've been. My mind has been. You're asking me like, what's going to happen in Bali? Like, will the 18 people coming? And yeah, it is about community. And that's why we're doing, in large part, we're doing this as a group program. I interviewed one of the world's leading social psychologists for a conference that I did. The conference was called WTF, Should I Do With My Life? And its aim was to address the current challenges that our generation is facing that old generations or different times in history, they weren't facing. So who's dealing with today? Where's the wisdom for the challenges that we're dealing with today? And then I went out and interviewed these Harvard, Columbia, Stanford psychologists and CEOs and spiritual luminaries. So he's just an incredible individual, super smart dude. And I said, you know, there's all this great wisdom out there, but how do we translate something that we hear on a podcast, an epiphany that you have when you hear Travis speak? How do we translate that to lasting change? How do we take an epiphany and turn it into lasting change? And he says, it's really simple. People only change when one of two things happen. Everything else that you try to do, ultimately, you're going to just pretty much average back out to where you are for the most part. The first is change your relationships, and the second is change your environment. And so that's what we're doing. We're changing people's environment and we're changing their relationships. And then going back to the how to want to distinction, here's the thing. People wait until they have certainty before they move forward. But what if there was no such thing as certainty? And what if instead of waiting to figure out what it is that you really want to do before you take action, what if the path was actually taking action, and as you move forward, you start to figure out which direction makes sense to go? And so that's my philosophy in life. And when I help other people embody that philosophy, incredible things happen. And that's my philosophy with the retreat. I have three really strong intentions for the retreat. For our participants, it's find your purpose, skyrocket your happiness, get paid to do what you love. And those are very clear intentions. How that's going to happen, I don't know. You know?
Right. That's the beauty of it, right? Of bringing these people together.
And that's the beauty of it. I have intentions, I have tools, I have ideas, but I don't want to plan every single thing ahead of time, because that would rob the experience of what it could develop into if I tried to stick to this rigid, narrow, everything needs to be planned for thing. And what I'm essentially doing in the retreat is, you know, one of the fundamental principles is to be the creator of your own life. And what that means is that when we're experiencing life, we're either experiencing life as a creator or a victim. A victim is responding, is reacting to life. Life happens to the victim and they're just trying to react to it. You know, they need to do things. They should do things. There's not enough money. There's all types of excuses why they can't get what they want. A creator says, okay, well, that's what you're saying is the problem. Problem is, you know, there's no money. What would I like to create in this experience? Instead of focusing on what's not working, how do we start to create what we want? And so it's a distinction, and it's a powerful one. And essentially, that's what we're doing, is creating our authentic life, a life that's in alignment with who we are and what we care about. So people coming to the retreat, this is what they're going through. They're going through stepping out into uncertainty, leaving behind what they know, traveling for the first time, but right to Bali. Many of them have never been overseas. One guy's never been on a plane. Coming to Bali for the first time, going into massive uncertainty, and then looking to create his life, a evolved version, the next chapter of his life on the other side of that. And so I'm leading by example to the retreat participants and to our sacred group of, I'm going to show you that you don't need to have it figured out, right? Because all you need is a strong enough intention and the desire to figure it out, and the focus and showing up and, you know, paying attention. And we're all here in Bali, and people have been asking me for the last 6 months, what are you going to do when you're in Bali? I don't know. We have 18 people. Let's have some fun. Let's see what we create, you know? And this freaks people out. Like, I know there are people listening right now who are like, that guy, Jacob, what is he thinking? He's got crazy. That's the beauty of it, is being able to create. And it's not going in there unprepared. It's going in to, and life is an art, you know, life is an art. There's some principles in art that will help you create something beautiful, but there are no steps to art and there are no steps to life. There are principles in life which will guide you, which you can use these something miraculous with your life, but there are no exact steps. Life is not a linear thing. Life is a flowering, multi-level experience. And so I'm looking to be the group in their approach to that understanding of life. So I hope I didn't go too far off the deep end here.
No, well, I think it's a testament not only to the people who are going and a lot of these people who are taking those steps for the first time, but also a testament to the idea, like you said, it's more of a want than a how-to. And these people are saying, I want this bad enough that I'm going to get on a plane for the first time. And that can be, you know, whether you're going to retreat, whether you're going traveling on your own, like you did the first time, you said, I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to expect. You know, I don't even probably know where I'm going to go. Like when I land in Europe and I bounce around these cities, but I want to do it because I know it's going to change.
Yeah.
And that's an important distinction that you make. And I think that most of the people out there who want to travel, that's how they feel. They don't know how it's going to change them. They just know that they're going to be changed. And the more you travel, the more you realize that, you know, I don't know how going to China is going to change me, but I'm going to go to China because it's different from where I've been. I don't know how going back to Thailand for a third time is going to change me, but it will. You know, there's never a time where I come back from a trip and say, you know, well, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
I don't have any more perspective. My horizon has not been broadened. I haven't had any self-discovery. I'm the same person. It was cool to be on a beach. You know, like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you talk about changing environment too. I think that's cool because you've recently kind of uprooted yourself permanently from New York City, where your home base was all your life. And you've been traveling from New York City. But now you said, all right, I'm going to be location independent because I think that's a big step in where I want my life to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people listening, they dream of living location independent lifestyles. You know, I'm doing that to some degree as well. You're doing that. People are working towards it. How have you been able to balance the location independent lifestyle? And what advice can you give people? Because it's not, it's cool and we both want it, but it's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
Yeah. So it's not easy, especially when you have two cats, which I do, which is like, how the hell are you location independent with two cats, bro? So it was less about the decision to be location independent for me and more about the fact that I had been in my old apartment for 6 years and it was a great, great, great place, but the neighborhood, the environment in which it was in didn't feel like the most exciting to me. And the way that I live my life is what would be the most exciting thing I could do right now. And that doesn't mean don't work. Like oftentimes it is work is the most exciting thing and work and play are one. And me going to do a retreat in Bali is the most exciting thing I could think of. And as a company, you know, we brought in a nice amount of revenue from that. I was at the point in January where, you know, Sensify had made, you know, some money that year. And I finally kind of got to the point in Sensify where I was making what I would have made at my corporate job or what I was making when I left. And I just had an understanding or a feeling that in the next year, our business was going to do a lot better financially. And so I said, well, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, but Mom, do you mind watching these cats? And she said, yeah. And it's because I knew I was going to Bali for a while. And I knew that I wanted to really lean into these principles of environment and relationships. And I wanted to live in Manhattan when I'm in New York. And so I'm in an apartment in Manhattan right now, but in 2 weeks from now, I'll be going to my mom's house for a week and with my girlfriend. And
always a fun time.
Always a fun time. And then I'm going to Burning Man for a week, and then I'll be back in New York for 2 days, and then I'm going to Bali for the retreat. And I don't know what's going to happen after Bali. I probably will get a place in New York, and New York is definitely my home base, and the cats really are the biggest challenge because it is a burden for my mom to be watching them when I'm not around. But for me, it's I really lean into this gauge of what environment do I want to be in? And that's when I travel, when I'm in Bali, I like to be in a place for a month or 2 months. I like to make that place my home. Very different than the first backpacking trip I did where I just told you guys about, where I'm, you know, jumping to all these different cities every 2 days. I want to go somewhere and make it my home and work from there and do my coaching calls and work on my business and enjoy the culture and have the massages and the food. And for me, it's been really cool to be able to set up a business that can function from anywhere in the world that has good internet.
And one of the things you do much better than me at this point is going and like making it a home and relaxing and not going crazy and saying, well, I'm so close to here, I might as well go there, and bumping around. You really are very good at kind of engaging in that culture, settling down, slowing down. And that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because a lot of people, you know, we teach people travel more, spend less. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to travel slowly and not bump around so much. And you've done a lot of that. What are some tips then you have for people who are like, okay, I want to do that, but what about accommodations? Like, I can't afford to even be in a hostel for a month because that's going to chew up a lot of my money. What do you normally do then when you go abroad and you stay somewhere for an extended period of time?
Dude, how many podcasts have you done? Is this like 50-something? What number are we at?
It's like 55, 56, somewhere in there.
You've got a bunch of travel experts who could answer that question a lot better than I can.
No, because you've done it. You've done it in Bali. You did it in Hawaii some. So you have some advice here on how to get accommodations. We know you use Frequent Flyer miles, so that's one of the things for traveling more, spending less.
Travis hooks me up. I send everyone I know to him and say, guys, you got to use Travis. Pay this man to help you book your flights. I don't know if you actually offer that service anymore. You have other services, but
friends and family now. So you make the cut there.
I make the cut. Cool. Well, have Travis lead you in whatever offering he has for that leading. So, like, for instance, in Ubud, which is my favorite place in Bali, we paid $650 for the month, and we stayed on the third floor, corner window, corner balcony, recently, you know, renovated or created, and you know, $650, right? Like, and then there's a co-working space there called Hubud, which was $250 for the month, and it's, you know, super quick Wi-Fi, super chill environment. You're meeting tons of other travelers, entrepreneurs, nomads. Yeah, man. I mean, travel has changed a lot for me. Like, 4 years ago, it was definitely like that first trip was like, this is why I worked really hard to spend this money. And I probably spent like $6,000 on that first trip in 5 weeks.
That's like a year in Bali, man.
Yeah. And then I learned, and then like, but I wanted to do it so badly that I'm like, I got to figure out how to do it. And then I figured, oh, well, you can use frequent flyer miles. You can stay at hostels really cheap. You can do all these kinds of other things. Yeah. And so travel, you know, I've definitely done Southeast Asia is a great region because it's very cheap, most of it. And Europe is not so much. So keeping that in mind. And
for you, I think the traveling slow is something that I know is a way to save money, because whenever you stop and you spend time somewhere for a week or 2 weeks, you can obviously get deals on accommodations, you know, like you're not spending money on trains and planes and this and that. Yet I still find myself having a hard time to do that. You've done a good job of that. And I think that's allowed you to then say, well, I can continue to travel because I'm not, you know, jetting all over the place. I'm actually settling down when I get somewhere.
Totally. What me and my girl did, we were traveling for 3 months earlier this year. We stayed in Chiang Mai and we were paying, I think, $18 a night. You know, you split it between the two of us or whatever it is. And so we didn't spend much money in Chiang Mai, but then we decided we're going to treat ourselves to 4 days at Koh Samui at the Marriott. And so we spent like $600 or maybe $1,000 after flights or something like that. And we did that. And so it's really up to the listener. I mean, it's really up to you what it is that you want to do. Do you want to just go immerse yourself in a new culture that you can sink into and allow it to start to rewire your brain and to explore yourself out there and take time to do the things that are most important to you, whether that's whatever that might be? For me, that was meditating and journaling and listening to things that allowed me to grow and to exercise and do photography and kung fu and like all kinds of shit that I just didn't have permission to do in my other role and other life. And now it's, you know, I'm going back to Bali and yeah, I'm just going to be like, it's a great culture. Okay, here's my tip. And again, like they have so much wisdom. The fact that people are listening to this, they have you, they have all the people who you know. Really, this is just...
It's a collective effort here, man.
It's a collective effort. So what I know now that I wish I knew when I first started traveling was look up expat communities. Look up places that there are expats, people who have left their country and have settled in a new country like Chiang Mai, like Ubud, because there's culture that I can relate to there. And so there's the original indigenous culture, which is incredible. But at the same time, that can get a little lonely sometimes if you're the only one in this culture. And in expat communities, I find that there's people who understand the kind of conversation that me and Travis are having now, and there's good internet.
Perfect. Then one last thing here, Jacob. Have you ever had a hilarious mishap while traveling that sticks out in your mind? Because I know someone like you surely has quite a few. Is there something that sticks out to you like, I can't believe I did this?
Oh, Jesus. I used to run a graffiti website when I was younger, and I used to interview like the notorious graffiti artists that everyone was like wondering who they were. My favorite part when I used to interview them would be like, so what's up? You got any crazy stories? And like graffiti stories are the craziest, running from cops, subway tunnels, rooftops. And so you're turning the tables on me right now. And what do I have for you?
Man, maybe you're just the perfect traveler, right?
Can I give you a link? Is there a link to show notes?
We will go back into the show notes. So if you have a story, we can link to it.
So check it out. I wrote a blog about that first trip. I've never shared this publicly ever. I've been doing content online for the last 4 years. I've never shared what I'm about to share with you guys ever with anybody online in these circles. And what I'm going to share with you is the blog that I wrote when I took my first trip. And there's a crazy story about me being in Italy and almost missing my flight and running and then forgetting my passport at the metal detector and then getting to my flight and like flirting with a girl and then realizing with 10 minutes left that like, oh my God, I don't have my passport, and running back to the metal detector to realize that they gave it to the passport office. And I go to the passport office and I'm at the passport office. And then they're like trying to create a new passport for me because they think that I lost it when really I like lost it, but they had found it. And then I'm running. I need to go back through the metal detector again. And they're announcing my name in Italian on the loudspeaker. And I'm running through people like sidestepping old ladies and like jumping on escalators. And so, you know, I wrote about it, and this is me kind of tapping into that writing.
So if you want the full story, we will link that up in the show notes. Jacob gave us just the brief overview here of flirting with a girl and almost missing his flight because of that. But the whole story will be there. Jacob, before I let you go, what do you have in the pipeline that people should be looking out for, either personally, professionally?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, you've got the retreat coming up. Either you're on the retreat now or it's going to be happening in a few days.
Well, check it out. Here's what I'll say is that I don't know, but what I'm most inspired by is our community. So we have something called Sensifi's Inner Circle, which is a small tribe of people who are committed to creating their ideal lives, whether that looks like traveling, whether that looks like being in the relationship that they want, whether that looks like dealing with a goal that they're excited to go accomplish or a challenge they're looking to overcome. And it's been incredible to see. We've had this over a year now. It's been incredible to see some of the friendships that have emerged in the most meaningful ways. And for me to see that just is super touching. So I'd invite you guys to join that. There is a weekly group call. So you get group coaching, life coaching, whatever kind of coaching you want. Normally, my services are premium priced, well into the four figures. And this is $25 a month. And you get a call every week where you can ask me anything you want and join our community and just surround yourself with those relationships and an environment. So you can go to Sensifi, S-E-N-S-O-P-H-Y www.jacobcoach.com/IC, like inner circle.
Awesome. Well, Jacob, thanks for coming on the show. You have been one of the most influential people in my life the past 3 years, through all the ups and downs of starting my own company and what can I do, and just a great sounding board for ideas. I've been part of the Inner Circle. Love what you're doing there. I know that you're changing lives left and right over at Sensefi at the Inner Circle, really helping people find their purpose, lead a more fulfilled life, building an absolute amazing community. So thanks for coming on, and enjoy Bali, my man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for everyone listening, guys. Keep in touch and have a great rest of your day.
See you, bud.
Later.
Hey, guys, if you love listening to what Jacob said today, if you just love the enthusiasm, the way he attacks life, just the way that he is so real with himself and the way that he's really helping others try to find their purpose in life, and you're just digging what he is saying, make sure you go over to Sensefi.com. I can honestly say that Jacob is one of the major reasons that I am where I'm at right now with Extra Pack of Peanuts. He served as a mentor for me for a little while. We've become really great friends. I love what he's doing over at Sensefi. If you really, really like what he talked about today, I urge you, Sensefi.com, go over and check it out. If you're really digging what he's doing, he has a small group of people called the Inner Circle, where they get on a conference call every week, just talk about life, you know, help each other figure stuff out. I've been on some of those conference calls. It's a really great community. So if you really want to get involved, you can go over to Sensefi.com. You can check out the Inner Circle. Remember, guys, we're doing a podcast 5 times a week, every Monday through Friday for the month of September. And if you like it, we're going to keep doing it. This is day number 2 of our month of podcast gluttony. So if you do like what we're doing, please let us know by subscribing to our show on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever it is that you're listening to it. And you can also leave us a review. And if you do, you may be getting a shout out. Today's review comes from Mark Fink, who writes, "This is a great podcast to learn techniques and tips for not just traveling with a small budget, but also getting the most out of your trip. The interviews are great, and I always feel like I'm learning something that I'll actually use on my next trip. Highly recommended." Thank you, Mark. That's exactly what we're shooting for here, teaching you to travel more, spend less, and have an incredible time doing it. So thank you, Mark, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Until tomorrow, happy free travels.